Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to the Church Together. Over the last few weeks, we have discussed in detail the discipline of fasting. We've looked at what Scripture has to say, the example of our Savior, and so many others throughout Scripture that have kind of guided us in what this discipline looks like and what it is meant to be in our lives. We've also talked to those who have tried it once, all the way to Miss Jeannie, who has made it an every week part of her spiritually disciplined life. And then, of course, we tried it together. The only thing left on this subject, then, is what we've experienced. And, of course, the only experience that I can truly speak to is my own. So I'd like to take just a few minutes today and share with you what I believe has come forth from that practice, that particular experience of the discipline of fasting that we enjoyed together on December 19th, and that we will do again the third Sunday of each month for the next few months at the very least. And so what was my experience? I've actually really just struggled with what that was, what it was meant to be, what God might be attempting to convey to me, and what meaning there might be in that for the Church Together and for others who might have come alongside me and done this with me that day. And to tell you the truth, I did do 35 hours. I did it from I fasted from the first sunrise of Sunday, December 19th to the last sunset, as best I was able to figure out anyway. You know, time zones get really complicated, but I'm pretty sure we had a 10-hour day. It was the second to the shortest day of the entire year, which was kind of nice to get started with, but a 10-hour day and there are 25 time zones. So I did fast that 35 hours there, but even over the course of those 35 hours, it wasn't sufficient time for me to really grasp what it is the Lord might have been laying on my heart concerning that exercise, that offering that I and many of us made that day to Him. And so in contemplating that day and a repetition of that day that we'll continue having over the coming months together, what exactly is the Lord up to? What did He want me to see? And even beyond that, what might you see through what we experienced? If you participated that day, then I truly pray that it was just a wonderful experience and encounter with the Lord that day. Whether you've done it before or never had, I pray that knowing that other people were coming alongside you in that way, it enhanced your own experience with the Lord. But what part of it could be conveyed to those who didn't participate in order to help you in your own decision process about what to do with this new knowledge you have of fasting? You know, if you've been listening to these podcasts, there's a great deal of spiritual evidence that this is something that God has not just told us, hey, this is a good idea, but He's mandated that we do this. And there have been countless experiences scripturally as well as experientially that we have put out there to help you to question whether or not, if this isn't something you've done before or you've made a part of your everyday life, perhaps you not only should, but are being called to, being mandated to. And so with this new knowledge you have about fasting, what can our own experiences from those of us who have done it together now, what can they do to add to your bank of knowledge that might help you make a decision about whether or not this is something that it's time to try? I had a number of people say things like, well, that's just not something we do, or that's not something I'm into. And while I understand that, you know, there are lots of things that we aren't into or that we've never done before, but for me personally, I think it's time for me to try things that I haven't done before in order to grasp some greater vision. You know, the world is a whole lot different now than it used to be. When I was seven and I walked an aisle and it meant nothing to me, when I was 13 and God grabbed me by the shoulders and told me that was enough of running, the world looked a whole lot different than it does now. You know, we had revivals, we had Wednesday night prayer meetings, and it even some of our most ardent churches these days, we don't have things like that. We don't have those this push to discipline. I don't even know if RAs exists anymore. You know, all of these things that used to help us figure out how to live disciplined lives. Even in our churches, many of those practices, those practice opportunities, they've gone to the wayside. And so how is it that we could do this together to combat what we've lost? What we've lost through COVID protocols, what we've lost through time, what we've lost through busyness. You know, all those years ago when they said that technology was going to make it to where we could do everything so much faster, we were going to have like 22 hours a day when we could do whatever we wanted because technology was going to do everything so much faster. It's not the way it's worked out, is it? We found that there's more to do. The more time we have to do, the more time we fill. And so if I'm going to change that, if I'm going to change my ways, if it's time for me to change my ways, then I'm going to have to do things a little bit differently. I'm going to have to try things that I've never been into before. If I want to hear the Lord when there is literally constant chatter in my ears, I might have to try something new. I might have to do something different. You know, quite literally, the overwhelming majority, I feel, of millennials constantly have chatter in their ears, quite literally, AirPods in their ears at all times, or Beats on their head with one, you know, one ear cocked back so they can hear what's going on in the world around them. It's very hard to hear the Lord with that much chatter. There's just a lot of distraction. And so if I want to have an ardent and passionate relationship with the Lord, then maybe I need to try some things that are countercultural, that are even old school, but that are definitely new and different for me. And so My agenda for the next few minutes is just to help you see that if you are investigating whether or not one of the new things you might need to try in order to truly grasp the greatness of the relationship with the Lord that's been offered to you is fasting, then here's some more information for you to draw from. Here's a little bit more experience from someone who is trying it to help you glean whether or not it's something you need to try. And so just the particulars of my own day. And I will say fasting is not necessarily new for me. I have tried it on many occasions. I have done this. It has been a powerful, powerful, and very meaningful tool in my life that I have underused, to say the very, very least. But this particular fast that that I did as a part of the Church Together's fast was different from any other I had ever had. There were, it was just different. And so in that vein, I really struggled with how to, you know, whether or not that was something you guys needed to know about, whether you needed to hear that, because I could very easily tell you about, you know, the fast where I needed an answer to this particular dilemma. And I totally understood it. And I had this great piece about it in the end and blah, blah, blah. You know, I could tell you about those because there are lots of those and it's beautiful. But this one was different. And so I really struggled with the Lord. Like, this was hard, and this was strange and obscure, and I'm searching these days and weeks later to see, what do you have for me here, Lord? Is this really what you guys need to hear? And I felt very clearly today, actually, just a few minutes ago, I've struggled with this for days, and I literally sat down with the Lord, and it is. And so whatever you take from my explanation of my own experiences, just know, you know, Micah had some of his own takes from his experience. Miss Jeannie had some of her own takes from her numerous experiences. Here's mine. Add it to the bank, and perhaps what we have expressed to you as our own experiences will somehow entice you to have your own. So the first thing that was different for me is I was actually weak. I was physically not in a good place. It didn't take all that long, which is really kind of strange, but I noticed that I had not eaten, and I was physically weak from not having eaten. I've never, ever had that happen, but it was very distinct, very, very clear this time that I didn't feel very good. But that being said, I did not stop a minute short of the 35 hours that I had dedicated to the Lord. And so I prayed about that throughout the day too. You know, Lord, should I do this? I mean, I shouldn't feel bad. And so I really examined with the Lord why that might be, because if he's my sufficiency, then I shouldn't feel insufficient. That's really what I kept asking him throughout the day. I don't understand why, you know, you're not filling me up, quite frankly. And so that was a very bizarre part that was really kind of the whole experience for me, that I was literally pretty weak throughout the entire 35 hours almost. Not entirely, but pretty close, strangely enough. The second point that I would make is that I survived just fine. Maybe my 35 hours were up and I ate a late night dinner. It was 11 o'clock on Sunday here in my local time when the last sunset would have happened in American Samoa. And so I sat down and I had a little something to eat right before I went to bed. And I survived just fine. I woke up the next morning feeling good. There were no lasting effects. Everything was fine. I, quote, survived. I'm stressing that word. But another thing that I had to point out was that if you followed it on Facebook, then you know that I had issued an invitation to anyone who lives near me to come and pray in my backyard with me for an hour on that Sunday after church. And I did have a few takers there, and I got a little sofa and chairs out back, and we sat there and we talked and we enjoyed each other's company. And I found that hour, which actually turned into nearly 2 hours, was just the most uplifting, the most lighthearted, the best I felt the entire time. And I found myself completely oblivious to the weakness that I had experienced right before I sat down there, and quite frankly, the weakness that I picked up again when everybody had left. I felt such a kindred. There was just this wonderful closeness and encouragement that I felt by experiencing that together with other people. And another thing that I want to point out is that aside from that time, I felt as though God was somewhat conspicuously quiet. I asked him numerous things throughout the day. I attempted to converse with him in ways that I normally would, as well as ways that I had done in the past, in previous fasts. And I felt as though it was almost like God was just very notably quiet, as if he wanted me to hear his silence more than his words. I struggled with that too, because I could tell he was there, and yet he didn't want to say anything to me. It added to the difficulty of the day that I felt like it was a one-sided conversation, and yet he was there to hear every part and he cared about it, and yet wouldn't let me hear his responses to it. And then the final thing about my own experience that day that kind of has helped shaped my thoughts on the experience was that the primary takeaways, I don't even know how to express it, but the beauty of the day tended to come from others who participated with me. I got a number of texts that morning from those who were doing it in my area who had the same sunrise time as I did. A number of texts that morning saying, you know, either I can't come this afternoon, but I am fasting today, or just encouraging me as I did it, or even, you know, sent me a text and said, I'm in the car all day. She was driving to family members for Christmas, and she said, I'm in the car all day, and I've got my own prayer prompts, but if there's anything you'd like for me to add, I'm super excited about experiencing this fasting day with you. And then, of course, my time that I spent in the backyard, with those and my buddy Jim, man, just an incredibly godly young man who has no idea the encouraging force that he is, was just a great, great high point. I had another who had technological issues. And by the way, there have been technological issues. Satan was clearly attempting to keep us from communicating, which I discovered throughout the day was a problem. But that's always a good sign to me. If Satan doesn't like it, then I'm on the right trail. But the attempts that were made and the fervor with which people wanted to interact in that way, all of those things were just a wonderful encouragement to me. And so on a day when I felt like the Lord was quiet, I found that the Lord's people weren't. And it just held a wonderful sweetness to the time for me. And so as I have pondered these things, I've tried to consider what the Lord was trying to teach or tell me. In his silence, what exactly was he saying? And as I've thought through that day and I have talked to the Lord about it in hindsight, here are a few things that have been written on my spirit about it. The first comes from John 10:10, which says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." I can survive doing this discipline by myself. I can survive chasing after the Lord as a solo race. I can survive loving him and being passionate about my relationship with him and pursuing him with ardor. I can survive this way. I can practice discipline by myself. I can grow on my own. But can I thrive that way? God did not come. He did not send this perfect son so that I could just get by. You know, my husband and I have somewhat differing mentalities when it comes to a gas tank. I'm one of those that will take it down, not to the point of being dangerous. You know, I'm not going to run out of gas, but I'm certainly not going to go fill my tank if I've got like half a tank. I mean, that just seems like a waste of time to me. but I got enough to get where I'm going, but it's really pretty rare that you get in my car and I have a full tank of gas. My husband, however, he will go get gas like if he's just passing by a station. You know, if he needs a quarter of a tank, he'll just stop and top it off. Well, when it comes to the spiritual life, we really should be much more like my husband. Too many of us think, well, I've got enough to get by. My quarter of a tank is going to get me through the day. When God says, I didn't come to give you a quarter of a tank. I didn't come to give you a snack of popcorn prayer. I came to give you a feast by the sea. I came to give you a full tank that was overflowing. I don't want you to merely breeze in on fumes to the end of your day. I want you to come to the end of the day and find that you have spilled over on everyone around you and you had more than enough and you still do. That's what I came for. I came for not just life, but fullness of life. You know, so many of us, we popcorn prayer, you know what I mean? We talk to God a little bit throughout the day. It's like eating a snack of popcorn. And you can do that all day long. You can snack on popcorn all day long. But at some point, you need to sit down and have a meal. The popcorn is great at sustaining you for a season, for a little while, until you can get to the table. But you just can't thrive. You can't have the fullness of energy in life if you never sit down to a meal. And so you need to sit down with the Lord and really just indulge in a great feasting time of his presence. That's what God came for. That's what we've been saved for. We've been saved for this greatness of a relationship, a fullness in him. And too often we settle for, like me, having just enough fumes to get us there. Now, yesterday's manna, it's not going to sustain you. What you had yesterday or last week, and certainly last Sunday or the last mountaintop you had, it's not enough to fill you up to the point where God intended you to be day in and day out. The experience that the Israelites had with manna in the wilderness was such a beautiful and candid, very real material display of the lives we are supposed to live, the lives that have been sacrificially bought for us by the blood of Jesus. Fullness. I'm meant to have everything that I need in a day, with no need for yesterday's manna to be carried over, with no coasting in on fumes by the end of the day. He came that I might have life to the full. And so I can coast through and I can get there honestly just fine. I can be right there on half a tank for a long, long time, perhaps a lifetime. And I can experience discipline and I can experience closeness and I can feel the intimacy and I can grow. I can survive that way, just like I survived those 35 hours just fine. I can totally survive that way. But I'm not meant to thrive like that. And so where I have arrived is actually Psalm 34:8. Taste and see. Taste and see. Come to the Lord and taste some things. I feel as though this is what God was telling me, not only for myself, but for those who might come along with me. Just try it. Just try what fullness of life feels like. Just put it on like a coat and wear it around and find that it is the greatest feeling you've ever had. Come and taste these things that God has mandated for you. Come and taste this life that God has in his sacrificial nature secured for you. Taste and see that everything he's mandated for you, it is good. It is exactly what you've longed for. And any half-filled day that you might have thought was really good, by comparison, you will find that it was rubbish. It is the old C.S. Lewis, the most quoted line ever. We may have gotten by just fine on mud pies in the slums, and we may have at times felt like this was the greatest meal we've ever had. But not until we realize that God saved us for something so much more do we get the experience of a feast by the seashore and find that those mud pies, they really weren't what we longed for. And it really wasn't the greatest meal we'd ever had. So come and taste. Taste and see that which you've never tried before. Taste and see that which you don't understand and which is different every single time and which may look different to you than it does to someone else or you yesterday compared to you today. But God says, just taste it. Just come to me and just let me show you what I mean, what I intended for you, what life in the full can be like. And so for me, there are a number of things that I feel the Lord impressing on my heart that I need to taste more fully, more often, more trustingly. The first one is just obedience. Taste what obedience is like. And I think that you'll see that there are no real excuses. You'll find that when you taste obedience, there are a lot of excuses you use, have used in the past, that really are nothing short of disobedience. All the excuses that I came up with for why I didn't obey him in these mandates before, they were so trivial, so trite, and they just aren't sufficient. Taste obedience and see that it really is such a fulfilling way of living. And it really is far more than what we've offered him before. And in that same vein, taste discipline. Taste discipline and see that you do have time. If I taste this discipline just a little bit, then any excuse I had that there just wasn't time or I just didn't have the energy or it just didn't fit into my schedule, I find that I can see that I do have time and it is worth it. And it does fulfill me in ways that nothing else ever could. And it reveals a longing in me for more of it, that I'd gotten so accustomed to my mud pies that they seemed okay. They seemed great. But the delusion is pulled back when I taste discipline and I can see that, wait a minute, this is not a feast. This is popcorn. This is not a steak for dinner. This is a snack. This is not meant to sustain me. And so when I taste discipline, I see these things for what they really are. They're secondhand. They're yesterday's manna. They're just a snack. They're not the meal. This is a half-empty cup, not an overflowing tank. Another thing that I'm inclined to taste, and I cannot do alone, and this is where I felt that beautiful little snippet of it, that little snack of it, that day, especially in my backyard. Taste unity. Taste together. And see that there are people who are just like us. People who understand like we do. People who love the Lord like we do. People who literally, at their core, they look exactly like me. Because the Holy Spirit that indwells me is the exact same Holy Spirit that indwells them. Taste together. And find that in this, togetherness, I can become a better version of myself. Free of judgment, free of shame, free of any sort of divisiveness. Taste together and see that it is a wonderful way to do life. Taste thriving. Taste thriving and see how very short mere survival falls. Full life, it looks and it feels, it sustains, it carries us so much further, so much higher, so much more peaceably, so much more joyfully, so much more full than mere survival ever could. Fulfilling life, it's not coasting in on fumes. It's feeling as though we've come to the end of a very full day and we have all we need. And it spills over on our family at dinner time. And it oozes over onto the phone call when we were just about to get into bed. And as we close our eyes at night, the fullness of the abundant life that God came to give us, it has us hope-filled, peaceful, falling asleep as we hear the song of our Savior singing over us in the night. That's thriving. That's what we were made for. All in the experience of one afternoon's fast, we can find this thriving. And that's my own takeaway. And so for what it is worth to you, that's what it's meant to me. There'll be another communal fast, the third Sunday of January. And I really do hope that you'll come and you'll taste and you'll see and you'll thrive and you'll be called to something great and wonderful and you'll look down at your mud pie the next day and just say, I will not settle for this, because the feast by the sea, it's totally worth it. Come and thrive with me. Thanks for coming along for the ride. And I hope that you find your own wisdom from the Lord, as you do indeed taste and see.